Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Chet Amud Aleph, about to take a look at the third Mishnah in the first Perek, listing the holidays. We've already seen a little bit of this list in the earlier discussion in the Gemara, the pagan festivals that are then bound, in some cases, by our rule of 3 days in advance and according to Mishmael, 3 days afterwards. Ve'elu edehen shel ovdei kochavim. The following are their festivals. Kalenda, which we, from there, that's the same word as our word calendar, and it was celebrated on the 1st of January, a Roman pagan festival. Starnura, or Saturnalia, which is around the winter solstice, and the Gemara will define these. Kratesis, or Kratesim, we'll see in the next podcast what that's about. Ve'yom genusia shel malcheihem, we'll see this further down. V'yom ha'leda, v'yom ha'mita, meaning the king's birthday, the emperor's birthday, the day of his death. Divrei Rav Meir. Now, Rav Meir says the day of his death. Chachom Omrim is only about the issue of yom ha'mita. Kol mita sheish ba sreifa, yesh ba avodat kochavim. V'shein ba sreifa, ein ba avodat kochavim. Any death that's accompanied by burning. This is not cremation. This rather is either burning the vessels of the emperor or some sort of an incense as part of the death ritual or the funerary rites. That's Avodah Zarah. Now, there's one way to look at this is that Chachamim are limiting Remeir and saying, even when an emperor dies, only if there's Srefa is it Avodah Zarah. It could be that they're expanding and saying, it's not only when a king dies, but anyone who dies, if it's accompanied with this, it's called Avodah Zarah. Now, all of those are bound by the three-day rule and bound to everybody who is involved. Havayom tiglachad zekano uvlorito, the day that a person shaves his beard or cuts his hair, Yom Shalom Aminayam, the day that the king comes back from his journey to the sea, perhaps to visit the islands. V'yom Shiatzam Beit Asurin, the day that he was led out of prison or out of captivity. V'yoved Kochavim Shasam Ishtel Livno, if a pagan makes a feast in honor of his son, that means after the wedding. Enu Asur Elot HaYom, the ban is only that day, not days in advance. V'oto HaIsh Bilvad, and only doing business with the man himself, not with participants, etc. Now, Amav Chanan Barava, let's get the sense. Kalenda, Chet Yami Machar Tkufa, we already seen this, is 8 days after the solstice, January 1st. Starnura is Chet Yami Lifnei Tkufa. Now it's unclear whether these things last 8 days, as it's indicated, but that seems to be the notion, as we'll see in the following piece. Vesimancha, Achor Vakerem Tzartani. Again, as we saw earlier, this is a play on words because in the original text, Achor Vakerem Tzartani in Tilim Kuflametet, Satani means you created me. You created me front and back. And that is used in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Lamed Tet as part of the description of the hermaphroditic creation of Adam originally. But here, Satani is a play on words. Satani is as if to say you have troubled me, Tsarot, and that the later holiday is listed before the earlier holiday, Achor Vakedem. So it says a mnemonic. Tana Rabbanan. Now we have the background of these holidays. Adam HaRishon saw that getting close to the solstice, days were getting shorter. Amar Oily, Shema Bishvil Shesarachti Olam Chashuch Ba'adi, perhaps because I've failed at eating from the tree, the world is getting darker, V'chozer L'tohu V'avo, and it's going back to primordial chaos, V'zui Mitash N'Kinsala M'Nashmai. Maybe this is what God meant when he said that I'll die. What happened? Amad V'yashav Chet Yamin B'Tanitu V'Tfila. So he had 8 days, meaning either commencing just before the solstice, 8 days before the solstice, that's what it sounds like, or perhaps at the solstice, but he sat for 8 days fasting and praying. Kevan Sharat Kufat Tevet, once he saw the solstice, for I Yom Shemarich Volech, and suddenly he saw the days getting a little bit longer, Amar Min Hagosh Lalamhu, he said, you know what, this is just the way of the world, and thank God this is not the end of the world. Halach V'Asah Shmoneh Mim Tovim. So what did he do? In the next 8 days, he celebrated as a festival. And that's what later became Kalenda. The next year, Adam HaRishon made both of them into festivals to commemorate his new realization. And this fits the general approach of Chazal that see Avodah Zarah as being a corruption of original proper belief. So he made these holidays as proper holidays to God. But later on, these holidays became, and by the way, the Saturnalia holiday is something that exists in many of the ancient religions. It's called Mithras in ancient Persia, around the end of December. It's the reason that the church eventually decided that Christmas was December 25th, basically taking a pagan holiday and Christianizing it. Now, Bish Lamad Lamandam Ratishani Vaulam. Let's analyze this. If you agree that the world was created in Tishrei, the famous Machlokot Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Elazar in the first parak of Rosh Hashanah, so if you accept the principle like Rabbi Eliezer, that Batishrei Nivra Olam, that Yom Ezute Chazeh, he hasn't seen any days except these days getting shorter. Yom Arichei Akatilo Chazeh, he hasn't seen any long days because he was first created in the fall and now it's winter. Elamandar Menisan Nivra Olam, but according to Rabbi Yeshua, that the world is created in Nisan and therefore Adam Rishon is created in Nisan, Ha Chazele Yom Ezute V'Yom Arichei, he's already seen days get longer and shorter, he should already know how the cycle works. The answer is Dahamizute Kulehai Lochazav. He'd never seen days so short as the days of the winter solstice. It's important to note that that the closer you are to the equator, the less differential there is. And truth to tell, that in the region of Eretz Israel and Mesopotamia, even in the winter, the days are not so excessively short. But nonetheless, these were the shortest days he'd ever seen. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Yom Shniv Rabo Adam Harishon. The day that he was created. Now we're going to take the same notion and put it not onto seasons, but onto days. The day he was created, Kevan Sheshaka Alav Chama, once the sun set. Now according to some Agadot, he was created on Friday, but according to some Agadot, the sun shone all through Shabbat, and it was only Saturday night, the Gemara in Pesachim, that it became dark, and therefore he put two flintstones together and made a fire, and that's Boromir Re'aish. But according to this, the sun set on the day he was born, meaning at the end of the day. The same concern. He fasted all night. His wife is crying in his presence. Once the sun rose, that's the way of the world. He offered an ox whose horns were created before its legs, meaning it's an ox of Bereshit. Because according to the description of Chazal, all of Maasei Bereshit were created as fully mature beings. And therefore, unlike an animal that's born with its legs and then later grows horns, if it's that sort of an animal, this one was created with its horns. Shenemar vatitav ladonai mishor par makrin mafris. What is makrin mafris? So according to this midrash, makrin, meaning horns, mafris, then legs. Another piece about this. It was a unicorn. He had one horn. Makrin, mafris. Makrin in the singular. I, makrin tarti mashma. Makrin sounds like the Aramaic plural in. It's written without a yod. Take a look on the handout. You'll see how the pasuk is written. It's written without a yod, so you could read it mikaren. Boy Rav Matna. Romi shasta kalenda. Now we have a halachic question. Rome celebrates kalenda. Any cities that are within the periphery of Rome are subjugated. Can you do business with people in those cities that are of a different religion? They don't celebrate kalenda, but they're subjugated to Rome. Rishuvan Levi Amar kalenda asura la kolhi. And everybody's not disallowed from doing business on kalenda and 3 days before, etc. Yochanan Amar Ein Asura Elov Debilvad. Yochanan disagreed with Rabbi Shimon Levi and said, "Only those who worship. You have to avoid doing business with them." Now, Tana Kavateru Rabbi Yochanan. We have a bright that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Afa Pishamu Romi Asta Kalenda. Even though we say Rome sort of celebrates Kalenda or instituted it, V'cholai Rodes V'chol Lamishtab Dotlai, and all the cities around are subjugated to Rome. Hiatzmai Asura Elov Debilvad. The day of Kalenda is only prohibited to those people who worship it, meaning we can't do business with them. Saturnalia, v'kratesim, our other holidays, v'yom ginusi shemalcheihem. Now, the Gra has a different girsa here, or a slightly different punctuation, where he reads that this is now just a quote of the Mishnah that we're going to comment on, because otherwise it's very hard to make sense of this braita. So we're going to read it that way. V'yom shemalach v'melach v'anav asur acharav mutar. In other words, that the days before this are prohibited before, but not afterwards. So it's a different punctuation, different parsing than our Mishnah. It says the only one that's limited to the day itself and the person himself is the man making the party for his kid. But these other days are prohibited the day before, but not afterwards. Okay, Amravashi, Af An Nami Tanina. We have a bright that supports this. Tani Yom Tiglachat Zikano Uvlovito, the day that he shaves. The way that our Mishnah reads it. Okay. It's actually the the brayta that we had is not different than Mishnah, just skipping over those other incidents of the Yam and the Beit HaSurim. Now, Bishtam Oto Ayom, I understand why it had to say that he's only prohibited on that day, Afukah Lefanav L'Acharav, to say that there's no prohibition before or afterwards. Alo Oto Ayish L'Afukimai, what does it say, only that man? What's that excluding? Lav L'Afukim Meshamdav, isn't it to say, but his servants and anybody who is bound to him, you could do business with? So Shmamina, same thing, that Rome has the cities that are under its subjugation. Nonetheless, if they don't celebrate Kalenda, you could do business with them. Okay, Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yisrael Shebechutz La'aretz Ovdei Avodat Kochavim Yitarahin. A very interesting claim. Rabbi Shmuel says the Jews in Bavel are Ovdei Avodat in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz refers to Bavel typically. They are Ovdei Avodat Kochavim B'Tahara, meaning they're doing Avodah Zarah, technically legally okay. But it's Shemetz of Avodah Zarah. What's that, Kitzad? A man makes a festival for his son, meaning a wedding feast. He invites all of his Jewish friends. Even though they bring their own food, they have their own waiter standing there. It says if they ate from a pagan feast. This is in the recovenanting after the Egel, says you have to be very careful when you come to the land not to make a brit with Yoshvei Haaretz, because you're going to intermarry, etc., and then he will summon you and you will eat from his offering. Maybe the violation is only if you really eat from his offering. So let it just say, don't eat from the offering. Why does it say he'll summon you? The violation is already there once he invites you. Okay, so now that's Rabbi Shmuel's comment. But the halachic impact of that is that you're not allowed to participate in a pagan feast, even if you bring your own food, and of course you're not worshiping. So therefore, what's the impact? Kol Tlatin Yomin, and this is an eerie symmetry with the sugya in the first parak of Ketubot about what's considered Sudat Chatan Mekala vis-a-vis Shavu Brachot. Kol Tlatin Yomin, in the Jewish version, it's 7 days, but Kol Tlatin Yomin, 30 days after the wedding, if he invites you to a feast, whether he says it's in honor of my son's wedding, which was within the last 30 days, or he doesn't say that, you're not allowed to go. Because the assumption is it's for the wedding, and there are going to be offerings, and also to pagan rites. Mikan va'elach, after the 30 days, if he says, I'm having a special wedding party 60 days later, asur. If he doesn't say that, shari. What if he says it's for the wedding? How long can that go on? 5 years? 10 years? You could say it's an anniversary. How long extend it? Amar Papa ad treisa yarchishata. 12 months. Basically, same halacha. Wahavdil with a chatan and a kala as far as the din of asher bara. Mikara me'imatasur. When does it start? Meaning, at what point do we say this is already a su'udat chatan or a wedding feast for them? Papishmei derava, and again the same piece. Mechiramu sare biyasinti. The minute they start soaking the barley in preparation of the feast. If you recall the sugya in the beginning of Ketubot about the terrible tragedy that would happen if the father of the chatan or the mother of the kala would die just before the wedding, how they solve it, what's considered that the wedding has already begun, that the chatan first enters the chuppah and then they bury, that is this exact point, when they start soaking the barley. Ulevatar treisa yarchi shata shari, are you really allowed to do this after 12 months? You're allowed to go to their party? He came to this particular pagan's house, and it was after 12 months. And then he heard him giving thanks for his son's wedding that had been a long time earlier. And he would have nothing to do with the meal. By the way, it's interesting to note that he did go to this pagan's house for a meal, but once he heard that he was giving thanks as part of an extended, delayed wedding celebration, then he backed off. He was an important person, an Adam Gadol, and therefore it was important that he maintain a little bit of an extra distance, and even after 12 months, he was machmir, but the essential halacha is 12 months and that's it. Okay, Kartesim. I mentioned earlier that this will be in the next podcast, actually we're going to deal with it right now. What is Kartesim? My Kartesim, and the Greek word Kartesis, means ownership or conquest. So, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yom Shetfasa Bo Romi Malchut. It's the day that Rome conquered and took over its kingdom. Ay Vatanya Kartesim Ve Yom Shetfasa Bo Romi Malchut. We have a brayta that says that two of the days are Kartesim and the day that they conquered. So Kartesim can't mean that. Rav Yosef, shtei tfisot tafsa Rome. The answer is Rome had two great conquests. Achat bimei Cleopatra Malkata, Cleopatra, which is around the year 65 or so CE, and that's the conquest of Egypt. V'achat shetafsa bimei Yevanim, and one somewhere in the middle of the 2nd century BCE, maybe around the year 140 or so, when Rome conquered Greece. And so they celebrate both of these anniversaries. The Chiatra of Dimi Amar, and now we're going to get a report from Rav Dimi from Eretz Yisrael, from the Masorah based on Seder Olam, the rabbinic chronology. Tlati Nutrain Karve Avdu Romoi Bata Hara Yivanoi. There were 32 battles that the Romans made against the Greeks, for Lo Yachlu, they couldn't beat them. This goes back to the 2nd century, around the beginning of the Hasmonean era. 2nd century BCE. Adu Shatfinu Yisrael Bahadayu, until they finally got Yisrael to join them. V'hachiyanu Bahadayu, and this is the deal they made with Yisrael. Iminan Malchi, once we win, if we appoint the kings, Minaychu Haf Aparchi, then you appoint the eparchs, the generals. Iminaychu of Malchi, but if you have the kings, Minan Aparchi, then we'll have the generals. So Shachul or Mai Levani, once they had the Jews on their side, the Romans sent a message to the Greeks. Ad Haidna Avidna Bikrava. Till now, we fought on the battlefield. Hashanava Bidina, now let's go to court. We'll see who wins. And they asked them the following question. Margalit ve'evan tova, if you have a pearl or a gemstone, ezo men yaseh basis l'chavero, which sits on which? And Shachulu, their answer was, margalit levan tova. The pearl is the base for the gemstone. Evan tova ve'enach. Enach is an onyx. Ezo men yaseh basis l'chavero, which is the base for which? Evan tova le'enach. The gemstone is the base for the onyx. So you now have the pearl, and then on top of that the gemstone, and then on top of that the onyx, the black stone. Einach v'sefer Torah. And then they said, what if you have a sefer Torah and your top piece? Einach v'sefer Torah. They answered, sefer Torah is on top. So they recognized the supremacy of the sefer Torah over all the stones. Shachaluhu, and they said, imkein anan sefer Torah gaban Yisrael bahadan. We have the sefer Torah with us because Yisrael has joined us. Kafaluhu. So they beat them. And so the Greeks surrendered. Esrim v'shit shnin kamaluhu behem nutayu bad Yisrael. For 26 years, the Romans maintained their agreement and their trust with Yisrael and allowed them to co-rule. And this is evidently at the beginning of the Hasmonean era. Mikan v'elach ishtabdu buhu. After the 26 years, the Romans then took over and enslaved us. Now, why did the Romans change their mind? Mikara my darush v'asof my darush. What psukim did they discover? So we have to remember that from the rabbinic perspective, Esav is Rome. So Mikara Darush, originally they understood Nisav and Elchav Elchal and Negdecha. When Yaakov meets Esav, Esav says, let's travel together. Let's go together. Yaakov turns him down. And so forth. Vasof Darush, Yavnor Na Adonit, Fiavdo. Yaakov said to Esav, my master should go in front of me. So they said, aha, we're really the masters of the Jews. We, Esav, over Yaakov, and therefore we lead. We're in front. Now, where do we get this idea that there were 26 years of partnership? The Amarav Kahana, here we go. Kshachala Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. This is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta's son. He is now old and sick. Shalchule, they sent a message to him. Rabbi, amor lanu shnayim u'shloshat v'im shamarta lanu mishum avicha. Repeat two or three of the things that you told us in your father's name. You have to remember that Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta was the historian among the rabbis. He is the author of Seder Olam, and so now his son is being asked, tell us some of your father's Torah. Amar Lahu, and so he answered from Seder Olam, Me'a u'shronim shana kodem shachrav abayit, 180 years before the destruction of the Mikdash, which would put it at 110 BCE, Pashta Malchut Arshal Yisrael, that's when the Romans took over. Pei shana, shronim shana ad lo charav abayit, 80 years before the destruction of the Mikdash, which is 10 BCE, Gazru Tumal Eretz Hamim V'Yal Klei Zchuchit. That's the Sugyan Shabbat, where they made a decree about the earth of Chutz Laretz and that there's Tuma on glassware. Mem Shana Lo Chariv Abayit, 40 years before the destruction, Dainu, around the year 30, Galta Sanhedrin V'Yashra La B'Chanut. The Sanhedrin left the Lishkat HaGazit and set up shop, literally in a shop, in Yerushalayim. L'mai Hilchata, what's the impact of the Sanhedrin moving? It's a big parenthesis. Yitzchak bar Avudimi lomar shelo danu dinei kanasot. The Sanhedrin no longer ruled dinei kanasot. Dinei kanasot zakadaitach. What do you mean they didn't judge kanasot? This is the year 30. V'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav. Baram zachur otoa ish to tov Rav Yehuda ben Bava shmo. Let's tell the great story of the Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who should be remembered for good. Shemaleihu nishtakhu dinei knasot Yisrael. If it weren't for him, we would have forgotten all the laws of knasot. Knas, fines. Nishtakhu? What do you mean? Ligrasinu? You just learn them. Ela batlu dinei knasot Yisrael. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't have been able to continue to enforce dinei knasot. Why? Shegazram malchut ha-rasha'a gzeira. The Romans made a decree. This is a decree in the Hadrianic persecutions. This is around the year 150. Kol ha-somech yareg. Anybody who gives smicha will die. Anybody gets smicha will die. We saw this in Sanhedrin. A city in which they give smicha, the city will be destroyed. And the whole district will be destroyed. What did he do? He went to two great mountains, between two great mountains in the Galil. So he's in the Galil between Usha and Shfaram, so he is not in any city or in any district. He gives smicha to these famous five zakenim who were all students of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva's older age. Rabbi Kiva had already died. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Loza ben Shemua. Avi Mosif, Avi ben Nechemi. Perhaps Rabbi Nechemi was part of this group also. Kevan shikiru b'hem oivim. Once the Romans saw this happening, Amar lahem, so he saw the Romans coming. He said, Banai Rutsu, you guys get out of here. Amrulo Rebbe, v'atamate alecha, what's going to be with you? You're an old man. I'll be like a rock that has nobody turning him over, meaning I'm going to be passive and I'll lie here and that's it. You get out of here and save your lives. And therefore, we still had a batei din of smuchim who could then enforce dinei knasot. So Amru, lo zazum shamad shenatsu, l'gufo gimel meot lulaniot shel barzel. They thrust 300 spears into his body. Asu l'gufo kikvara. They made his body like a sieve. So you can't tell me that the Sanhedrin in the year 30 already stopped enforcing Knesset when 120 years or so later, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is continuing Knesset by giving smicha. What happened was Sanhedrin was no longer able to execute. My time, so why'd they move? They saw there was a lot of murderers around. And they could not judge them. Perhaps the Romans wouldn't let them execute. Amru mutav nigli makom lakom. Better we should exile ourselves. So we should not be liable for the fact that we're not fulfilling our mandate of execution. Dichtiv vasita pi adavar shegidu lacham mina makom ahu. You have to do what they tell you in that place, and that is in the parsha of Beit Din HaGadol. That's also in the parsha of chiyuv mita and of execution. Which means if you're not in that makom, you can't execute. And therefore, if the Sanhedrin is not there, there can't be executions, and therefore we're not liable for the fact that we're not executing. Okay. Now, parenthetically, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi sent the message that Me'ah u'shmonim shana, there was 180 years of Roman rule before the destruction. Betulo, that's all. Vatani Rabbi Yossi Berebi. Malchut paras ifnei abayit. This is straight out of Seder Olam. The Persian king, and this, of course, is very much at odds with the chronology, what we refer to as standard chronology, the chronology we're familiar with, but this is Seder Olam. Malchut paras b'fnei abayit shloshim v'arba shana. This is basically a series of who ruled Palestine during the entire existence of the Beit Sheni. And according to Seder Olam, Beit Sheni was up for 420 years, which means it was constructed in the year 350 BCE. According to standard chronology, it was 515 BCE. But the Persian Empire was up for 34 years while the Mikdash was up, meaning after it was up, 34 more years of Persia. Then Alexander came. Machut Yavan Mifnei Abayit Me'ah U'shmonim Shana. That's 180 years of Greek rule. Machut Chashmonai, the Hasmonean rule, which starts in about the year 164 BCE. Mifnei Abayit Me'ah V'shalosh, that's 103 years. Machut Beit Hordus Me'ah V'shalosh, and the Herodian dynasty, as it were, lasts 103 years, and they're counting that as going up to the year 70, or perhaps 66, the end of Beit Rishani. Mikan Ve'edach Tzeva Chashov Kam HaShanu Achar Churban HaBayit. Then all you have to do is figure how many years has it been since the Churban, and you can put it all together. Now, by the way, if you add all those numbers up, you get up 420. Alma Matan V'shitav. What do you see? You see that after the Greeks fell, meaning the Hasmonean victory, there's a total of 206 years, 103 plus 103. And you said the Romans only ruled for 180 before the destruction. So the answer to this is, it must be that for the first 26 years, the Romans kept their pact with Israel. They didn't rule over them. By the way, it is certainly a documented fact that Yehuda Maccabi appealed to the Romans for help, and there were times when the Hasmoneans looked to the Romans to help them against the Greeks, etc. There certainly was a partnership at times. But for the, according to this Midrash, for the first 26 years of Hasmonean rule, the Romans and Hasmoneans were partners. After that, they took over and they subjugated, and therefore the total is not 206, but 180, meaning 206 minus 26, 180 years of Roman wicked rule until the destruction. Therefore, those 26 years are not counted in the reckoning of Malchut HaRasha'al Yisrael that starts when the Romans turn against the Jews, and then the 180 years starts ticking. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We're going to pick up with some very interesting observations about how we use Seder Olam to identify if we're unsure about the current date, and using different calendrical and devices to figure that out, but we will deal with that in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.